Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you crazy movie-loving people. Welcome to another exciting episode of Real Nerds Podcast, where every day a new movie, and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, we saw A Working Man. Stay tuned. Well, we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week and stuff we watched throughout the week. Because we love movies, and for 14 years, we have been giving the people what they want. Us talking about movies. And I'm joined by Brad. Brad, how's it going?
Hey, man, do we have a lot of news this week.
I know. It's like
trailers and announcements.
I know. It's been a busy week. It's interesting because it felt like for a couple weeks, nothing was really happening, you know? And then everyone's like, you know what? It's CinemaCon. Let's just drop everything and put everything out and announce things just beforehand. And it's been quite the announcement week.
But first.
Yeah. How are you, Brad?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I don't want to repeat the same thing I've been talking about like week after week. So we can just move on. What have you been doing?
Same thing. Just working. Nothing cool.
Okay.
If something cool happens, you'll hear it here first. I promise.
Yeah. Boy, we had fun with April Fool's Day, though.
Oh, yeah, we did. Man, it actually took off.
Well, yours took off. I wrote two articles that no one read.
Well, I was driving home from work, and I don't know, like, what came over me, but I had this idea of, because we try to do something silly on April Fool's Day anyways. And I don't know, because maybe it's because you're making a film right now. And so I had this idea that, you know, I'd write a article announcing you as the new director of a gritty reboot of 50 Shades of Grey, and write it like a news bulletin, like they used to, you know, where it's Hollywood. I did forget to put that you were repped by somebody.
No.
But, and literally when I was outlining the article, because, I mean, it's not a long article, but I wanted it to be funny. And I was just playing with it. I don't know why I called it 50 Shades of Grey and Blood. I don't know. your penchant for violence. I don't know where I got that from. I just was making shit up.
No, it's funny. It's good.
I know. I mean, my favorite line is that you love to watch people being erotic from behind a camera. Because it was kind of creepy, and I didn't know if it was so subtle that no one picked it up, but seems like people did, and they had fun with it.
I mean, I got comments of, like, I don't know if my mom's joking or not, but she's like, oh, I'm glad to know this isn't real. So,
yeah, I hope so, too.
And then she made fun of me today, being like, so what are you going to do with your $100 million? So, yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's fun.
But yeah, I was disappointed to be like, I wrote two other articles and yours is the one that got traction. I'm like, ah, can't win ever.
I mean, I was looking, I clicked on your profile on our website because I, you know, posted your stuff on or other social media that you're not on anymore. And this is the first article you wrote in 5 years on the website.
Yeah. Well, that can't be true because I've done the other Ninja Turtles April Fool's thing too. Unless that was 5 years ago. Doesn't seem like it.
Let me double check. It's definitely been years.
I looked. The last one I did was like, I falsely reported that they were switching the Ninja Turtles bandana colors around for the next movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I don't know. It seems like that was at least 3 years ago. But
nope, you wrote it March 31st, 2020.
Oh, my God.
And then your next one was the Ariana Grande.
So, yeah, I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
Pulling my weight. Don't want to. If I did it every day, they would be less special.
Yeah. But I also wanted to run it by you before I posted that article, just because I knew I was going to say some like sensational things in it. I mean, obviously, you have a great sense of humor and it's always in jest, but.
Yeah, I can't believe anyone would take that seriously. If they are, then they're stupid, and I hate them. Yeah,
well, you know, I wanted to run it by you because I'm basically calling you like a creepo.
Yeah.
Documentarian of people fucking. So I wanted to make sure, like, hey, just so you know, is that cool? And you have a great sense of humor, so I knew it was going to be cool. But, you know, want to run it by people.
Yeah, I just figured the giveaway is like someone hand me like this franchise with like no resume. Sure, like if they get past that and then to the creep part, then I'm worried. Like,
true. And I try to find, I love that picture of you giving. It must be from Open Screen Night or something.
I think it's from EFP. Yeah,
yeah. Like you're kind of smiling. It looks like you're at a festival. You know how they would pull directors' photos from that stuff.
Yeah. Like I'm doing Q&A at the Alamo Draft House or something.
Yeah, so it reminded me of that. So I pulled that one, and then you operating a camera. Because, I mean, you just don't have very many douchey pictures of you on your Facebook profile.
I know. I was like, man, I'm going to put this profile of him at Steel Panther. It's going to look so good. People are going to love it. They're going to be so attracted to reading it. And six people. Okay. They just liked it. I'm not sure they even read it.
That's okay.
So, whatever. I'll stop writing. It's fine.
No, don't. We do it for fun anyways.
I did like, I think one of your friends texted their friends about the Ariana Grande thing before they figured it out.
Yeah.
So, all right, I did something.
Yeah, see? We did it.
But yeah,
we did it.
Corinne was instantly like, I don't buy it.
Yeah. Well, I hope not. this week on Real Nerds, we did see a movie. We saw Working Man. Brad, do you recommend A Working Man?
I guess only if you want to shut off your brain and just, watch some action that you've seen before. I did enjoy how relentless he was. But yeah, like he seemed unchallenged. So there was no drama to it. It was just like, he's going to go kill those guys. And hopefully it's awesome.
So I agree with you. I think you should see it if you like action movies. And I'm not talking about, you know, smart ones like Drive or something. I'm talking about, you know, it reminded me kind of a little bit of early 80s or mid 80s action films where right away I was kind of, you know what, see the movie. Let's play the trailer and I'll tell you what sucked me into this movie right away. Here's a trailer for A Working Man.
For slapping that woman.
That woman was my wife.
That's for slapping your wife.
Who are you?
A 19-year-old girl was kidnapped. She's my family.
Just give my back to Fabernita.
All of this is for a girl.
I'm not stopping until I bring her home.
You clearly have no idea who you fuck with.
I was hungry. Fuck you.
This isn't just some kidnapping. This is human trafficking.
You killed your way into this. You're gonna have to kill your way out of it.
He's hunting us.
Oh, that is not good.
Wanna have a race?
You're a cop.
You wish I was a cop.
Look at those bricks. You ain't a cop. You're a working man.
That's right. Time to get to work.
Is that a grenade?
Yep.
This is nothing like Fortnite.
Yeah, isn't this just like Death Wish?
Yeah, pretty much. But I knew I was in this movie. So I'll give a really brief plot. Jason Statham is a former British Special Forces guy. He works for this really like loving family construction company. And the daughter is kidnapped and put into human trafficking. And then he goes after him. But I really liked it. It had nothing to do with the movie later on, which I thought was weird. But at the beginning, he's this really cool boss for all his workers. And one of his workers gets, you know, attacked by some gang members. And Jason Statham walks over there and he says, "Hey, you need to leave." And the camera does this tight pull-in of him, but it's, you know, underneath, so it has a hero shot. And I go, okay, I'm into this movie. I'm here. Because some of the dialogue was really corny.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff, I think this is, I don't know if I ever want to see Michael Pena play a straight guy.
You, yeah.
I mean, like, not like, you know, sexual orientation. I'm talking about all I am is, you know, I can't, you know, he had no purpose except to care about his daughter.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I hate to say it, but like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the part where he breaks down and starts crying, because it gets, you know, he's serious. He's trying to like convince Statham to like do this for him. I didn't buy it. Like, I just, it felt like he was trying to be like a deep dramatic actor, but like that take wasn't it.
No. And that's what I was thinking. I mean, does David Ayer, did he not get a good take from it? Because all I see is the dude from Ant-Man, you know?
Yeah.
And I just don't know if Michael Pena is good for the straight like guy, you know, where he just says, "Hey, help me out," and plays a family man. I want to see him just be silly or be the sidekick.
Yeah. But I mean, I think he's done dramatic roles before, but like after Ant-Man, everyone just sees him as the comedy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he could have done it, but that take just didn't, like, I didn't feel like he was really sad at all. Like he's just,
I guess it also could be that the script isn't like that great.
Well, no, that's definitely it. Cause it's all like the cliff notes of just like a human trafficking story, which, like, built into a revenge story. Cause it's co-written by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
So not a lot of strong dialogue there.
No, but again, I have,
into a guy who doesn't talk a lot.
Yeah. And, I had, you know, fun watching it, and I love that he had, you know, a wise blind friend. He yep. just, David Harbour says, "You know what? I want $1 million. I'll be on this movie for 2 days." And yeah, it's just, I mean, the movie is fun though. Like, I had a lot of fun watching it. Sometimes it's fun to just watch a movie and not have to overthink anything as you watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just there in the moment.
So much so that it put me to sleep sort of towards the middle. Like, so did the girl they kidnapped, who they, you know, make her not so much a damsel in distress because she kicks the asses of her kidnappers over and over again, but they don't kill her, even though they like say fuck a lot and threaten to kill her over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they have her dead to rights, they just wait for Statham to show up and kill them. And they don't kill her. Was she like, was there a twist that I missed where she was actually deliberately like in like a sex ring or something? Because when she goes home, she says like, "Snitches get stitches." She wanted him to hide something.
They didn't want them to say that she killed somebody.
Okay.
Because it's, yeah, because she just happened to be randomly selected. That's what I mean. Like, at the beginning, what did that gang that Jason Statham beat up have to do with anything?
I thought they were part of the ring, but I guess not.
I thought so too. But then they had the moment where they said that that bartender was just taking pictures of girls, and then the one Russian guy would say if he likes them or not, and then that they would kidnap the girl that he likes.
Yeah, that sounds right. Also, didn't they say like they were going after the girl she was with, like the one who was thrown up, but they accidentally kidnapped like the girl is that like the one they actually kidnapped instead?
Maybe. Yeah, that I guess I totally shut my brain off because I don't remember them saying which one they're going. I thought they were saying her, but I don't know.
I was confused. But yeah. I mean,
it was really convenient that when Jason Statham went there, he did find her earring in the alley after
she was kidnapped. I mean, honestly, he didn't have to do a ton of detective work to track down these people. Like, he found the ring. He looked at the cameras. He's like, I know where the compound is.
Yeah. I also do. I mean, because it's my profession, when the parents say, yeah, we told the police, but they just don't care. That's not true.
It just gets filed and no one deals with it.
Yeah. Yeah. When people get kidnapped, I mean, I just go, yeah, whatever.
They'll turn up.
Yeah. But yeah.
Also, how big was that moon?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going for stylistic there.
Like, there's no way that's that had to be CGI'd in. There's no way they shot it that big.
Yeah. It did seem like it was, I kept on waiting for, you know, the wolf man to show up.
Maybe that's what they're going for, is like, Statham is the wolf, the hunter.
It was very moody at that point. I don't know. I kept on thinking that too. And then they had weird comedic moments with it when she was running away and that guy's like, man, she's fast. I was thinking of Superbad.
Yeah.
That's the fastest kid alive.
Yeah. And then I think it was Russian guy. It's like such a cartoonish, like penguin guy. Like, yeah, bring her back to me, even though she like ripped my face off.
Yeah, but for what purpose? I don't understand what he was going to do to her.
I guess like rape her and then beat the shit out of her, but never got that. Never got close.
Yeah, I mean, I did like when you know, Statham went to rescue her and that Russian guy was yelling at him and he just shot and killed him.
Yeah.
Auto negotiate with terrorists.
When she does run away and then the cops pick her up and then they bring her like to the trafficker and it's like, I'm sorry. Like, where's the rest of that story? Like, there's a corrupt police force like helping these guys?
No, dude, didn't you see the one Russian weird guys mowed them down?
Well, yeah, but still, like.
And that too, I was like, why do they kill that? Why would you kill the police if they're on your payroll? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't understand why they killed them.
They're that reckless, but clearly they're, you know, envisioning a franchise because their dad is like talking to his Russian bosses. They're like, you got to let it go for now. So then he just like sits there and screams into the ether.
I will say the action is really cool. That last part where he busts into the illegal casino in the middle of nowhere. I guess outside of Chicago. But it was still fun, you know.
And some of those people are just, I don't know, they're dressed for like a 40s ball. And then they just ran into the woods.
Yep. Did you see this one guy, sometimes extras in the background always catch my eye. There's a part where the police car was pulling up and they were doing a crane shot. And there's a guy in the background giving CPR to some body on the ground. What the fuck is going on? But it was entertaining.
He's just a torso. You're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard because, I mean, you know, Statham's fun in it. He's not really stretched, but I mean, it's in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's a lot like The Beekeeper.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think didn't The Beekeeper come out the same week too? It's kind of now Jason Statham week is the last week of March.
I think it was January last year, but
was it? Whatever. Oh, you're right. It was. I think it was the first movie we saw last year.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but if you know what you do and you make the movies fun, you know, I'm always on board with it because it's cool to shut off your brain. And two, I can never not think of the Family Guy joke when a movie has like 18 production company title cards.
Oh yeah.
Go through and go.
That's all I think about. This is
a bear that's walking through the awesome. Ah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think the movie I watched last week, Locked, did the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's what it takes to get movies made. Niche movies, you got to just like get money from so many different places.
Well, yeah, if you want to make a movie like that where it's, you know, I don't know, what do you think that movie cost? Maybe $35 million, $40
million? Working Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, because, you know, the studios don't want to put up $35 million movies anymore, which is weird.
That's just for streaming, dude.
Yeah. And how do you monetize streaming? That's the only it's always bothered me. Oh, all these people watched it and
they're still paying their monthly subscription.
Yep. So nothing really that great about it.
The numbers are steady and not going down. That's what matters.
Yeah, boo. Says the person that has like four streaming services.
You sucker. You're their bitch.
I am their bitch. Hey, there's a lot of news this week. Let's get to that.
It's real news.
They announced the cast for Avengers Doomsday. Yeah, there's 23 names, and I was reading that some people were disappointed that they revealed the Thunderbolts or a lot of the Thunderbolts in the reveal and that, yeah, now they know that they're not going to die in the movie. And is that important or can people like survive and they just try to solve the conflict?
Yeah. I think I watched the Thunderbolts trailer. I didn't get the sense that anyone was going to not make it out of there.
Yeah. And yeah, the Thunderbolts trailer's fun.
Although the new trailer where Sentry's like turning people into shadow dust, I was like, oh, maybe how are they going to get away from that guy?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, and then a cool thing, Paul Rudd, his reveal was cool, little director's chair. I didn't know it went on for 5 hours because I was working when it was revealed. And then I just was getting alerts on my phone. So when I got
the whole
home,
conference
I said,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go, man, that was a long live stream. But it was cool. But I mean, were you shocked that they announced the old X-Men cast?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Kelsey Grammer,
Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, Mystique and Cyclops.
Yeah.
Who else? Is that it?
Yeah, I think you got them. Yeah.
But they didn't do Hugh Jackman.
They did not do Hugh Jackman.
So, yeah, I'm curious, like, I can only imagine they're bringing them back to kill them.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's,
that's a bummer to have to watch.
I mean, well, the big one, too, is Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
As Gambit. I mean, my guess, I mean, Secret Wars, I don't know which one they're going to do.
Oh, is the Storm coming back, too?
No, I didn't see Halle Berry, did you?
I didn't, but I thought I saw somewhere online they were, like, talking about, like, her new hairstyle or something for the new one. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's an old thing.
I mean, they're pulled into a battle world and everybody has to fight. And this might be an incursion of a bunch of, you know, Marvel universes.
So they're just doing what they wanted to do with Kang, but using Doom instead.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it kind of feels like to me. I mean, obviously, I'm just guessing because there is no plot at all. And I'm guessing Comic-Con will, you know, in San Diego in the middle of July, we'll have a little more info.
Yeah, I hope there's a story beyond just like, you know, a Mortal Kombat Street Fighter tournament. Like,
oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, there has to. I mean, when you read what the Russos were saying about Robert Downey Jr. and how he's you know, really into the character, and he has a really cool arc. I mean, obviously there's going to be something more, or you hope there is.
Yeah. Also, they were bringing back Shuri as Black Panther, right? That was one of the names.
Yes.
And Namor.
Yep.
So I wonder if they're pitting like hero versus mortal nemesis in this like tournament thing.
Oh, and yeah, and the Fantastic Four are in it. So, and no Spider-Man either. My guess is, okay, well, they're basically shooting Spider-Man and Avengers at the same time. I have this feeling that maybe Spidey will be in the tag scene.
Maybe he'll be in the Secret Wars. Like maybe it's not even like him and like Hugh Jackman for the, you know, we're going to kill a bunch of characters in Doomsday, but we got to say something cool for Secret Wars.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. If they had a Spider-Man and Wolverine on the screen together, I'd freaking cry.
But then again, it just feels like a Infinity War Endgame rehashing. Of like, hey, we're going to kill your characters, and we're going to bring them back.
Yeah, well, I mean, there has to be a story there. I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting.
Guess what? Their clone died in Doomsday. Because now we're in Secret Wars. So they're fine.
Yeah, I guess they have to be shooting them back to back, right?
I think so.
Well, because it comes out, I guess Secret Wars is 2 years.
Well, still, just the effects alone probably take 2 years. So
yeah,
you want to get everyone, you want to get all the people on camera filmed before anything happens to them or anything.
Yeah, I guess too. You probably, I mean, I'm guessing it's a lot like Endgame and Infinity War. You probably shoot everybody in segments until the end when you bring them together. So
yeah.
Yeah, that was a big reveal. What other big reveals do you want to hit on, Brad?
Well, I thought you were going to talk about Brand New Day.
We have the new Spider-Man title, Brand New Day. I like the font they use. It's actually the font they used in the comic book, and it's, you know, blue and red, and the geek in me gets really excited, especially because I love Spider-Man.
And the Brand New Day words are just the font of the old movies. So
yeah,
I'm talking, kind of flipped it around.
About the Spider-Man part.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think it's funny that they took the font from like how they used to write Spider-Man and made that instead of like the handwritten Homecoming.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. They used to use the title font that they used to use. Yeah. But yeah, that's all we know.
Yeah.
And I guess he's going to get a new suit, which is like, he got a new suit at the end of the last movie. Why would he get a new one for this one? Come on.
Yeah. I know. And the suit at the end was cool because it's one he, you know, made. And
yeah, it's like you went through the trouble of resetting him to like street level Spidey again. And now you're going to be like, oh, we might give him like this electronic suit again, I guess, probably because he'll have to fight some cosmic presence in Secret Wars. So whoopsie.
Yeah, Spider-Man will still fight. I mean, are they going to give him his black suit in Secret Wars? Because that's where he gets it.
Probably.
Because, you know, that's what everybody, well, when I say everybody, all the quote-unquote Spider-Man fans want.
And then Sony can finally bring him into Venom.
Yes, because that's what's important. And then the... last bit of news I have is Val Kilmer passed away.
Oh. No, I knew that, but I'm just like, I have some other news. But yeah, Val Kilmer passed away. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
He was here, I don't know, like 5 years ago at the O Theater doing his like Citizen Twain performance.
Yeah.
And I regret not going to see it because it probably would have been really cool.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, we grew up watching him on screen, whether it's Top Gun or Tombstone,
Batman Forever,
Heat, Willow, man, just
Top Secret.
Top Secret, one of my favorite spoofs.
That's some other news for today.
Cool. What else you got?
Since I just mentioned it, the Naked Gun trailer dropped today with Liam Neeson in it, and it's pretty funny.
Great.
So
that it's being written by the Lonely Island guys totally gets me on board.
Yeah.
And just, I was thinking, when, you know, when's the last time there was a really good spoof? And Zach texted me about it, and he was saying, you know, What We Do in the Shadows, which I wouldn't call that a spoof. But yeah. I mean, I guess it's a similar vibe, you know.
But it's, yeah, it's not one of those joke a minute spoofs, you know?
Yeah.
That's petered out with like superhero movie and like date movie and like all that stuff.
Yeah, which, I mean,
Scary Movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and some of those are okay, but
but yeah, what We Do in the Shadows isn't like that.
No. So yeah, that was fun. And I mean, I guess they also announced Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse isn't coming out till 2027.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to come out 2 years ago, so that's a big delay.
Yeah. The other one came out in 2022 or 23?
23.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's supposed to come out last year. But also, I mean, if they're going to make it how the other two movies are, I'm totally cool with it. And that they're not going to take advantage of the animators, which was rumored for the last film, you know, let them have breaks and shit.
Yeah.
So as long as they make a cool movie, I'm totally down with it.
Yeah, the last thing I have is the Nintendo Switch 2.
Oh, yeah.
Was finally revealed, some details.
Yeah, how you feeling about that?
Bummed.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have to wait. I probably can't be there for launch day. And
yeah,
honestly,
I don't think I'm able to as well.
Yeah, like I want to, but yeah, like they announced the price being $450 right now, but given trade right now, it's like,
I know
it could still go up. So I'm like, I don't know if I can. And then the games are all going to be like $80.
I know. That's what I was really disappointed in. Honestly, I was pretty disappointed in that because there's a rumor going around that software developers and PlayStation and Xbox want Grand Theft Auto 6 to cost $100. And now that Nintendo is putting a Mario Kart at $80 digital and $90 for the game card, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll be cool with it. So here's what I was telling my wife today. I'd be cool with it if the game is complete and I can unlock everything in the game. I don't have to, you know, buy extra cards. I don't have to buy extra tracks, extra characters. Yeah, if everything's included in the game, then it's easier for me to swallow that pill. But I mean, $80 for a game that's digital—that sucks.
Yeah, I thought it was $70 for the digital and $80 for the physical. But
no, but I was reading on IGN that people were spamming the live stream about how expensive it is, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, which
I don't know if it'll change anything, but
probably not. Like, I think we'll just have to wait for the launch, and then like it'll be like the Wii U where people like don't line up right away, and then eventually they just go, okay, we'll drop it $50 and the games are $60 again. So that's all I can hope for. But it's like, part of me is like, okay, well, these AAA titles now, in it's 2025, like they're way more advanced than any game was in the 80s, you know? It's,
yeah,
like, so we've paid $70 for games before. So 80, like 30 years later, shouldn't be a shock, but we've been so used to. So it's like, I feel like if they're going to spend that kind of development money, like they're spending, what, more than a movie to make Grand Theft Auto, it kind of makes sense. But I don't know, given how many people are going to buy it, it feels,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, and that's my pushback too, because, yeah, I mean, Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto cost, you know, $500 million to make. And I'm well aware that's expensive. But they generate $1 billion in their first couple weeks.
Yeah.
So is there, it's just, it's a bummer. I get that they've been that price for a while, but you know, you also see that some of the games for the Switch 2 will have to be download only. So they're going to give you a pass key if you buy the digital version, where it just has, you put it in the system and it downloads it. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, because they're also trying to like force people to stop doing physical purchases, which I'm like not cool with. Like, I don't want like a magnet to skate. Like, if I wipe out my Switch or something, or like that's it, they're gone. Like, it's not like they're saving them anywhere for them, like themselves. There's no cloud storage for it. So, it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest heartache I've had recently with games, and I love video games, and I always will. Spider-Man 2, I got the collector's edition, and it comes with, you know, a Spider-Man and Venom statue. It comes with a steelbook, came with a poster. I mean, it was really cool. I open up the steelbook, and it's a digital download. It doesn't even come with a copy of the game.
Yep.
And that's just... Then why do I get a steelbook?
For the collector's value?
I guess. So it's just a bummer. And they didn't announce, because there's upgrades for the two Zelda titles that were on the Switch.
Yep.
Did they say that they were going to cost anything? Or if you have the Switch version, you pay like $10 and you get a Switch 2 version?
I heard you can buy it, but if you have like the expansion pass for online, if you're already subscribed to that, like it might be free, or it is $20. I don't remember. Because
here's the thing is I actually didn't mind doing that for The Last of Us Part 2 remastered for the PS5. Because I already had the game. I downloaded it for PS5 and it cost $10. And I mean, it looks way better. And, you know, the images they're showing for, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, I'm like, holy shit. So if they, you know, $10 is cool because I get that they put work into it. If I already own the game, because then, you know, I'll end up spending $80 on the game. So, but it's still cool. I like the new controllers. It looks really cool. Today they released the Piranha Plant camera.
Yeah.
which is cool. And I like that you can, you know, put yourself on camera while you play with friends. I mean, that stuff's fun. And Nintendo's still really innovative. And
they've got that chat button in the controller.
Yeah. And, you know, I might do what I did with the Switch the first time is I waited and I bought it when it was bundled with the new Mario game.
Yeah.
Because I love Mario and, you know, Mario Kart's cool and the new Donkey Kong looks amazing, but those aren't always my jam. I'm more of a Super Mario guy, so yeah. I'll probably hold off too.
Yeah, that Bonanza looks like the most fun to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, again, Kart Nintendo, World is cool, but...
Yeah, Nintendo pushes it, and, you know, you're able to clobber through the ground, and it looks fun.
Yeah. Yeah, also, the screen on the Switch 2 handheld isn't an OLED. I'm like... So now you're going to, like, release that, and then 3 years later, you're going to put out the Switch 2 OLED, and so I'm going to be like, oh, I should have waited for that.
Yeah.
So that's another reason I'm like, man, I should just wait for, like, a Zelda version or an OLED version.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to wait for a Mario one.
Yeah, and also the SD cards aren't backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get the new cards, but the games are. It's a little bit of a mess.
Yep.
And the game cases look like shit. that huge red banner on that red case. I'm just like, should have been Super Nintendo too.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I might just print out my own.
But like I said, I love Nintendo. I'll still support it, maybe just not right away.
Yeah. I think it'll be the same trajectory as the Wii U. it's going to be a tough adoption, especially like right now for people. Yep. And then they might just like hack some prices down. And
yeah, because I mean, I already planned a trip to Disneyland in September because they're doing 30% off. So I was like, okay, well, that comes out in June. So I'll just hold off because I'm taking my family to Disneyland. So,
yeah. The other weird thing, though, is seeing like people who paid like $700 for a PlayStation 5 Pro being like, $450, what?
Like, I know.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, the console price doesn't bother me at all. I'm just a little confused on a Mario Kart game costing $90.
Yeah. Especially when, like, if they're going to charge. Like, Grand Theft Auto is going to, if it's $100, like, that's a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, World is, I know it's open world driving now, but still, it's like not, there's not like a ton of other stuff to do.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's like, why is it so close to that? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe when it gets closer, we'll have a better idea. Because they have a Nintendo Direct with that, just that game, I think, next week. But yeah, I still love Nintendo. I still get excited. And I mean, and the animations and the graphics look incredible, so.
Yeah, I'm just not as excited as when the first Switch launched.
Agreed.
Although it is cool that they got the GameCube selects being added to the collection, so that's a pretty good incentive, because right away they got F-Zero GX and...
My favorite Zelda game, Wind Waker.
And Wind Waker, yeah. Although I'll probably get the Wind Waker / Twilight Princess Switch cartridge when it comes out instead.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a both together package.
No, yeah, then I'm totally going to do that.
Yeah. So.
Sweet. Hey, we watch things throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
I'm trying to remember what I watched for the Snow White episode. Did I talk about the Alto Knights last time?
No.
Or Ash? Or no. Locked?
Nope.
Okay. Wow, I have a lot of stuff then. I watched the Alto Knights with Robert De Niro playing two characters, which I thought were twins, but they're not. So I'm like, why'd you have him play two different people then? Just to put makeup on him for another guy? Anyway, that's about it's about the fall of the mafia in America, and it's pretty boring.
Wow, you sold me.
Yeah, it's just one of them talking about how he got it over on the other guy, and there's barely any typical mafia movie stuff with people killing each other. Mm. It's like there's one shooting, and then it's a lot of just politics and interviews and documentary history type stuff. Yeah.
No, fun. Maybe that's why it flopped.
Yeah. Just wasn't interesting. It's like, oh yeah, the mafia folded. We know. Okay. And it was basically the one guy just ratted everybody out. It's like, okay. two hours for this? Okay. Then I watched Ash, that sci-fi film that's
it's getting some buzz.
Yeah, it's got Aaron Paul in it, and they're searching for a habitable planet, and a bunch of the crew gets slaughtered, and the woman left over has to loses her memory, so she has to backtrack and figure out what's going on. It was interesting and visually super weird. Not terribly compelling. But I guess for a low budget sci-fi film, it was pretty cool. Hmm. And then the prosthetic for the creature at the end was pretty neat. It's very, very much like The Thing.
Practical?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
At least it seemed practical. Then Locked, I watched that Locked movie where Bill Skarsgård's trapped in a car and Anthony Hopkins is terrorizing him. And that was cool in a trapped in a bottle type thing, but also both of those characters suck and you're not rooting for either of them. So yeah, I didn't really care by the end what happened to either of them. So, then I watched Better Man, which is
that's the Robbie Williams biopic, right?
Yeah. Yep. Where he's a monkey and not a human.
Hmm.
Expensive movie for a guy who's really more famous in England than America.
So my wife loves him.
Yeah? Did she see it?
No.
She doesn't want to see it.
I love him.
it's typical music guy, He is really ambitious, gets into drugs, and it ruins his life, and then he has to make up with everybody. So, but it is for what it is, it is pretty emotional and solid, and I don't know. It wasn't a dumpster fire, but it wasn't the story wasn't shocking. But
yeah, I mean, it is. I do want to see it because I think it's unique.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to make it different than every other biopic, but again, he's so unlikable in the middle of his life. They're just I don't know what you expected. Like, this is, you lived out the story of like every musician ever. So, but yeah, there's like this runner with his dad who's like, it seems like the movie blames him a lot for his actions, but I mean, to some extent, his descent into drugs is his own fault. But his dad was really like so obsessed with being a celebrity that Robbie's obsession with being a celebrity is kind of the reason for it.
Like, yeah, because he's starting a boy band, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. He was in some boy band and they wouldn't let him write songs. And he wanted to, you know, be an artist and like break out on his own. And eventually, like, that kind of like holding him down forced him to rebel. And yeah, it didn't go well. He was really shitty to everyone. So, but it worked out for him.
Yeah. I mean, he ended up making it.
Yeah. He has like this best friend early on that you only see in like one or two scenes. And then later in the movie comes back and you're just like, is this guy still part of the story? Because it probably should be his wife delivering this scene. But yeah, it's this guy that we forgot about from his childhood.
Perfect.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Then I watched The Elephant Man. Speaking of men.
Oh, that's an older one.
Yeah, and I thought it was really good. I think it's the only second David Lynch film I've ever seen, but again, it's like not really his movie. He's just, you know, the director of this, like a real person story. And it was really successful at capturing like the feeling of being bullied. So like you really feel for John Merrick throughout. Yeah, I thought it was like really well done. And it's like surprising to see Anthony Hopkins like really young and also like a nice doctor.
It's always interesting when Anthony Hopkins is nice.
Yeah.
Because he was so great as, you know, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. You know, like he's so nice to John Merrick too. Like you think he's going to like ruin his life too. But they do have that little thing of like, am I also like the guy? Am I just like a rich guy doing a sideshow for this guy?
Mm.
So yeah, that versus where John Merrick comes from, where he's like an actual freak in a carnival. It's like, oh, I just changed the audience. So that like dilemma is pretty interesting to watch. And then speaking of doctors, I watched Death of Unicorn is the last thing I watched.
Oh yeah, I wanted to see that one. I didn't have time to make it. I'm gonna try to see it this week.
Yeah, it's all right if you like making fun of rich people.
I do.
Yeah. Basically, I think the trailer explains it. Like they hit a unicorn and they carve up the body and find out that the parts can heal people. So they start to exploit it, and then the unicorns get revenge. That's about it.
Nice.
And there's some pretty cool unicorn deaths.
Sometimes things you never think you'd hear. Sometimes there's some really cool unicorn deaths.
I didn't think they could top
as cool as Cabin in the Woods. I mean,
I was gonna say I think Cabin in the Woods kind of nailed it with the horn impalement, but yeah, they did some other things in this one. Kind of starts with that and then goes from there.
Nice.
But the unicorns are so obviously CGI that brings it down for me. So,
bummer.
Yeah.
Well, the trailer made it look like they maybe it's practical puppets.
I think for some of the close-ups, but there's more wide shots than there are close-ups. So, yeah. What'd you watch?
I literally only watched one thing this week. I watched an old Cary Grant movie called Houseboat, and I was actually kind of excited to watch it again. The movie's fine. It's like a cute romantic comedy. But it was released on Blu-ray by Kino Lorber, and it was from a new 6K scan, which I've never seen before. And that it's on a standard Blu-ray. I didn't know if it would make that big of a difference. And oh man, I've never seen a movie from 1958 look so good. The colors are amazing. It looks like it was shot yesterday in some scenes. It doesn't distract. And the cool thing is I got this new fancy TV, and it automatically, it doesn't let it over like sheen the film. You know how some of the TVs, 4K TVs at the beginning, they all look like wax figures. This new TV recognizes what the movie is. It's really crazy. And it adjusts the picture automatically based on if it's a TV show or if it's a movie, if it was shot on film, it's insane. The movie looks incredible. And it has a couple commentaries on it, and it's a fun movie. And I think they have another old movie coming out with a 6K scan. I can't remember the name of it, but I didn't know if I would notice a difference. And I did on a standard Blu-ray for sure. It's not quite as good as an Ultra HD Blu-ray, which I thought was really weird that they just put it on a standard. But I'm guessing it's cost. I don't know how many people are clamoring for Houseboat on a high definition, you know. But it's cool that they're releasing them. I'm a big, you know, we both are a big fan of physical media. And if they're going to make some of my favorite movies that are forgotten movies of my favorite actors, and they're going to put them out on, you know, high def, I'll always get them. That's literally all I watched this week.
I saw Shout was doing like a Bring It on 4K.
Yeah.
But like Bottoms, like the guys who do that were like, you want Bottoms on 4K? Are you kidding me? Like Blu-ray only. I'm like, it's not that radical.
No.
That should be the standard now.
I agree. I know. I think that comes out next month. I can't believe how long it took for it to come out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it had to do with it had to stream on Amazon for a certain amount of time.
And probably collecting. It has a pretty good selection of features, so.
Yeah. So I'm down.
Probably just getting everyone's schedules together. Because both those characters are, like, busy.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, actually, they both are.
Yeah.
I was going to say Rachel, I forget. I can't remember her last name.
Bennett, yeah.
Yeah, she does a lot of writing, too, so.
Yeah. And then the Nick Gazeltine or whatever, he's going to be He-Man, so he's busy.
Yep. So, yeah, good. So make sure you get that stuff. Pre-order it so, you know, they know how many people are going to buy it. Next week, we're seeing a Minecraft movie, which, spoilers, I've seen it. And what I...
am I going to like it, Ryan?
We have to wait till next week. But I will say that it's directed by the guy who made Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh.
So that has that going for it. I'll just put that out there.
I like Napoleon Dynamite.
Well, of course you do.
God.
Gosh. Until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!